ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Federal prosecutors say ship surveillance shows no one else entered or exited that stateroom the night Anna Kempner was killed. Her body was allegedly found concealed under a bed, wrapped in a blanket, covered with life jackets. The cause of death? Mechanical asphyxiation. The accused allegedly SA'd her and intentionally killed his stepsister while the Carnival Horizon was in international waters, which is why this case is in federal court, a system that almost never prosecutes minors as adults. Prosecutors say that they are going to prosecutors say they're going to be trying this case. Eric, when you got a case like this, you got cameras, there really isn't a lot of room for ambiguity here. I mean, we've seen crazy claims made, but I don't think this is a Lori Daybell case where Nephi's coming in and giving messages and, you know, people are turning into zombies or flying through porthole windows like Batman.
Yet.
Pretty cut and dry. Yes, that's true. We haven't gotten there yet. When you have something this cut and dry where, okay, here's who's coming and going out of this door. We know who did this. She didn't do it to herself. Does this thing ever end up in a courtroom, or is there enough wiggle room here to take this thing to trial? Of not that he didn't do it, but he did it, and here's why. There's arguments of the prescription drugs, of not taking his sleeping medication, of possible alcohol involvement with a minor. Again, these are things that not necessarily make you into a homicidal maniac, but I guess could lead to poor decision making.
Sure. You know, certainly on paper at this juncture, it seems like a strong case. But there are some unanswered questions and some other considerations as well. Like you said, you know, my understanding is the suspect had a number of medications that he claims he had gone days without. You know, if a 16-year-old had been taking sleeping medications and things like that and then been without them for a number of days, that's going to have a physiological effect. Mm-hmm. Is that going to turn him into some, you know, sort of like catatonic zombie who didn't know what they were doing and was sleepwalking and engaged in some action? We have yet to see that. It's possible. On top of that, you know, is it possible that there was some accident that happened inside of that room? I'm not saying that's for sure how it went down, but I think defense is going to explore, you know, was there any kind of self-asphyxiation? Was there some weird game being played? You know, teens do a lot of bizarre stuff. I just think it's not as open and shut at this juncture as it might look on paper.
And does them allowing and saying, okay, I can be tried as an adult, help any of those defense strategies or hinder them? Or are they kind of neutral? Again, just trying to line up what would inspire them to say, all right, I can be tried as an adult. And or is that just them throwing in the white flag, you think?
It's hard to say. You know, I think a possible explanation is that they would have more control over their choice of counsel if they're going the public defender route. And like I said, you know, there are a lot fewer juvenile homicide cases than there are adult homicide cases. Right. The adult defense attorneys are more used to handling those. And especially at the federal level, juveniles are rarely prosecuted under the federal juvenile system. And so I guess perhaps they thought maybe I'd have a better shake with an attorney who's done, you know, 100 homicides than an attorney who hasn't done any.
Yeah, good points.
With this being that you have the possible arguments here for the medication, you may have arguments that he was served alcohol. Let's talk about that for a second, because that's important, but the pattern of behavior is also important. If they can show a pattern of behavior specifically from the former boyfriend or others who may have, be able to show a pattern that the stepbrother had not the purest of intent, as we borrow a word from Joseph Duggar, in other incidents.
Moral failings.
How damning might that be? And I have to run to the other room for a quick moment to grab something, but go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, for sure. So, I think if defense raises some defense of like, hey, these medications made the defendant out of their mind, unable to actually come to a mental state like knowingly killing somebody because they didn't know what they were doing because the meds got them all screwy, I think that the prosecution's definitely going to look at the history leading up to this and say, whoa. There's actually evidence of potential animosity, of potential hostility, of potential intent to harm, because there were, at least allegedly, according to some reports, some kind of interactions between these two step-siblings, leading up to this that might not have been the most savory of interactions. And so that sort of cuts against this freak pharmaceutical fugue state that the defense might argue the suspect was in by saying, no, this is actually consistent with all the things he's done in the years and months leading up to this.
Yeah, and also all the text messages that they're going to be discoverable on it as well. And that goes then back to, who's paying for the cell phone bills? Who's seeing this? Who has access to those text messages? Because again, I see it'll be really interesting because we talked about this the other day too. What kind of parental liabilities you think are going to come into this? Kind of like, school shooters that we're seeing these days too. Do you think they're going to try to rope in the parents right away, or will that be a secondary thing?
They're certainly going to look at that digital footprint. They're going to look because it sort of reconstructs the history of the relationship leading up to Anna Kepner's death. And so, in that digital footprint, is there influence from parental members? Do parental members have knowledge that some impending danger could take place and, they didn't take action? I haven't seen any such records. I'm just talking right. Hypothetically that it's possible that, the parents were not the most noble actors in this ongoing familial relationship, and could that subject them to, the government putting an eye on them, or even in a civil realm, someone going after the parents by saying, hey, you saw the warning signs, you knew what was going to happen, you didn't take the appropriate action, this young woman is dead, and somebody's got to pay up. That we've seen it before, Robin.
Does him claiming and being willing to be tried as an adult help or hinder a parental defense at any point?
I don't think that in the criminal context there would be any sort of complete defense because my dad sucks or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think even if some adult did not handle things as responsibly as they should have, which I'm not necessarily saying happened, just hypothetically.
Yeah.
That is a part of the picture, but it is likely not a complete defense for these crimes.
And that's what makes it tricky in something like this, because it may be a moral failing, it may be an awareness failing, maybe a parental failing, not necessarily a legal failing. But sometimes, those sort of things can then, the domino effect happens, and then something bad happens because the warning signs were not heeded. It doesn't necessarily make someone, criminally liable or a horrible person, but something where they would look back on it in hindsight going, yeah, maybe I should have, done this differently or handled this better. But it's hard to litigate anything like that. Extremely hard to litigate anything like that because it's nothing illegal necessarily is always going on in situations like that. What this case makes me think about more than anything else is how the only reason we're talking about it is because she's dead and it happened in international waters on a cruise ship. How many cases like this are happening every single day in homes all across America, in families, you know, that, you know, mixed families from another marriage, kids from two different blended families, where you have this sort of dynamic going on and the parents are so hell-bent on where everything's good, everything's happy, we're a happy family, everything's normal. And, you know, and the insular part of that keeps the stories from getting out. How many young people suffer in silence in situations where the blended family comes into play and nobody is hearing their screams or their cries for help or just basic conversation, please, of, hey, I feel uncomfortable around this person. Well, suck it up. You know, you just got to get along. You got to do this. You know, those are words that so many generations have been told as they grow up. You'll get through it. You just got to, you know, buckle up. I feel like this really shines a light in this area and in an area where Anna Kempner's not rare. Parents like this aren't rare. I'd call them pretty average, quite honestly, for their level of care or their level of reaction to information like that that comes through. You would hope it would be better, but I don't think it truly is on a whole. Does this bring more light to that? Because I feel like it really should.
You know, this sort of familial strife has been going on since the dawn of time. You look at, you know, Cain and Abel, the story in the Bible. Yeah. This kind of thing is not new. And certainly to your point, when it comes to blended families and trying to make that adjustment, that's difficult for nearly anyone. And I think that oftentimes the parents want to have this rosy view of things that, and also perhaps they've sort of deluded themselves into saying, hey, if I just sort of view this as everything's okay, we're going to get through it, then that's what'll happen. And sometimes that's to the detriment of these kiddos who are voicing concerns. You know, in the comments, someone mentioned how Anna Kempner may have voiced a concern to her father. That was a safety-related concern. And you know, what was done? They put them on a cruise where they could be alone in a room together. You know, these are problematic scenarios and has led to an extremely tragic outcome in this case.
Yeah. I mean, other than being more vigilant and listening to your kids when they're telling you, I'm uncomfortable, there's something wrong here, this is not going to be okay, listening to them. Had that been done and not, well, she had the option to go stay with her grandparents. Yeah, she had to inconvenience them. It wasn't just like, of course, we're going to give you your own space. You're an 18-year-old girl. We don't want you to be in a room with, you know, hormonal 16-year-old who's already shown a penchant for trying to do things to you sexually, allegedly. What could possibly go wrong? It just seems like there's a lot of things that were completely ignored or willfully ignored because the parents, I don't know, maybe on the surface it appears didn't want to deal with it. That's the observation I'm making, but that may not be exactly how it truly went down in their minds.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I was distracted. What I was doing, I was looking it up. So roughly the FBI data in general, it's about 100 to 200 sibling-on-sibling murders a year across the country.
Gotcha. That's interested. A sizable figure.
It's bigger than you'd think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't include step siblings. They don't break it out for step sibling, but it's sibling on sibling. It's 1 to 200 a year.
I really wonder what the numbers are on SA that are unreported. I mean, because you're not going to get it because it's unreported. But the number on SA between step siblings. Especially in the culture that we live in. I mean, there's a whole industry to this theme that exists in the adult industry, and when you have young dumb males that are seeing this sort of thing, and it's somehow normalized in the culture to what they're consuming. That's a scary place for young women.
You know, and Tony, you brought up an interesting thing right there when you said the essay, and I'm very so. Here's again, we're doing a lot of conjecture and hypothesis, innocent until proven guilty, but. What we've heard in this case, and Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, and Tony too, I think there was SA in this case too, correct?
Yeah, that's what, since he's been charged as an adult, that's what's
come to light. Here's a scary fact on this. I remember, Tony, when you and I covered a case a couple years ago now of an essay of a sex worker. When I looked at the stats on this, roughly for every one conviction of a serial SA perpetrator, there are roughly 400 that are undiscovered. So I'm curious as to whether the family or anyone knew of other potential cases that would be uncovered if they dug deeper. Because if he had this one, what's the likelihood and probability there might be more? Again, pure hypothesis, pure conjecture. But since you brought that up, very, very rarely is SA one and done. It's either the very beginning of a long road or somewhere in the middle of it. So just something to think about.
Yeah. And when we get that answer, I mean, there's a vested interest in the people who were in that house to not, even if they had knowledge of something like that, to not share that piece of info, because then that would reflect directly on the parenting and in an unsafe environment. Come forward.
I wonder if anything else will come forward on that, too. That's a scary, horrible thought, and I'm sorry for it, but it's out there as a possibility, I guess.
Again, this is my opinion. I'm not saying that the parents did anything criminal or anything like that, but it really is a cautionary tale when we look at it of parenting that is derelict parenting, in my opinion, or parenting that just is not in touch with what's going on around them and the lives of these little humans that you have in your world that aren't so little anymore. They're young adults. They're capable of really horrible things if they want to be, and putting your head in the sand and hoping for the best. And in many cases, you know, kids grow up, they get through it. They can go through a lot of therapy later to talk about the shit that was ignored. But a lot of people survive. But this is obviously one that did not.
And how many cases we keep... So look at the overlap we keep hitting on our cases. You know, whether it's the Duggars and FLDS or IBLP with them, it keeps coming down to teenage adolescents without guardrails.
Yeah.
Doing crazy crap because their hormones are running amok and they're nut jobs and grooming, and bad crap happens because there's zero guardrails, zero accountability, and this is what keeps happening, and it's crossing all these different areas.
Yeah, I think it comes down to parents failing to recognize their children as humans, as individuals,
and getting off your ass and being a parent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 1,000%. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in right there. And press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts. You don't miss any of the cases we're covering.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.